Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
A safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Well, welcome, everyone. I hope you're enjoying your Memorial Day weekend. It's Sunday night at 9 o'clock, and the date is May the 28th, 2017, the last Sunday in May before we switch over to June, and hopefully things start getting warmer. Maybe they're warm where you are already, and you're wishing that it was getting a little cooler. Well, I've had a pretty interesting week, and I hope you had one as well. As always, this is a call-in program, and you can call in during this live hour or hour, and so however long it goes. The call-in number is 646-564-9714. That's 646-564-9714. And I'd like to do something different than I usually do, and I usually talk about one topic. I had an interesting thing happen this week where I hadn't written a post on my LinkedIn channel in quite a while, and I was inspired to write a post on that. And as always, when I write posts, certain thoughts come up, and I really don't know when I start to write the draft of the post, which usually winds up being pretty much the final version. I use it sort of as a think tank and as a tube of thought, just to have an unknown destination and to start out with a premise and just flow with wherever that takes me. And the topic of the post was about building wealth. And so I'll talk about the post a little bit, and then I'll also talk about some of the interesting thoughts that I've had as a result of writing that post since then, because they're pretty interesting, and they bear on what I'm trying to do and what I'm trying to talk to you all about in this first segment of an emerging forest, which is basically how I look at fertility and what I see this society doing right now and what I'd like to add to this society, sort of foundational material of how I think things work. So I'd like to talk about building wealth. And wealth is found really in a, you know, most people look at wealth and they say, okay, a pile of money or a bunch of assets or something like that. And I look at wealth as being eternally bankable, something you have literally taken to the eternal bank. And the eternal bank, in my perspective, is the soul recording of the experiences that you've had. And the soul recording helps you build yourself and broaden yourself and make yourself stronger. So lots of philosophies that we encounter today say you can't take that with you. But what I would like to say is I'm building wealth of experiences, and I'm building a place where you can have those experiences. So you can think of, okay, I'm building the fertility to have experience in the place where I'm manifesting. And then you can say, okay, does that fertility bear fruit for myself after I leave a body? And, you know, maybe you could say, okay, you would leave a very fertile area, a very fertile manifestation area, and you wouldn't wind up in another area that would be infertile unless you, of course, you were meant to once again promote the same fertility increase. So maybe that would be an exercise for someone to be constantly getting put in an area of infertility and being asked to upgrade it or improve it to an area that would support more and more experiences. And that's what I'm getting at. I'm getting at the wealth being the experience that you can bank, but also the wealth being in the continued fertility of the game space, the earth, the place where we meet in our minds and have this acting class or this this role-playing game that we play. So increasing wealth is found in not only in the allowing of new experiences, it's in the making the portfolio of the environment able to support more experiences. So what I've been talking about in my programs is basically you can have an incredible diversity. You could have some of the experiences that we're having today, but not nearly so much of them, and maintain a small sector of the planet having the same experiences which we're now having planet-wide, but the rest of the planet would be doing other experiences which wouldn't be nearly so polluting, if you want to call it polluting. It wouldn't have nearly the outflows, the effluence, and maybe some of the other experiences would actually use those outflows as valuable inflows to make their experience happen, to use that waste product, if you want to call it that, as a precursor to their experience, sort of the regen experience. So maybe there would still be a polluting experience, there would be a whole host of regen experiences going on, as well as some areas that were taking advantage of the improved fertility of the whole area. Diversity that I'm talking about allows many choices of paths by the experiencers, whereas what's going on right now is a domination of the experience by one group and a grouping together of the experiences, a schooling, if you will, saying we're all very similar and we should all be having the same experience. We should all believe the same things. So what I'm getting at is that massive diversity of experiences is only possible if the quote-unquote stewards, the keepers of the ecosystem, are keeping a vibrant, fertile ecosystem. Otherwise, you don't have the ability to manifest minds with fertile crops. You don't have the ability to manifest more and more species of wildlife, as we can see. What's being manifest now is less and less species of wildlife as certain species go extinct because of the environmental factors. So while a large, diverse choice does allow, as I said before, for pollution of the ecosystem, it only allows for it to, in, you can look at it as being a formula, and you can say, okay, there's this much of an allowance for this type of a polluting system within the overall ecosystem. It doesn't allow for the circumstances of species die out to this extent. Now, certainly what we're having now is a reality. It's not fictional. It's happening. So we can look at it and say, okay, this is happening. We can allow it to happen, or we can react, and we can say, well, what I'm saying is that the heart of the system that we presently exist in, government, making rules, and saying what's right and what's wrong, is the mental device that needs to be replaced. Because to say something is right and something is wrong is to misunderstand our nature. Our nature is all. Our nature isn't this part and not that part. Our nature is all. It's why we don't like watching nature films when it shows the lion attacking something, because we're very upset and we say, oh, something should be done. No, it's the nature of, so we should be our nature, and we shouldn't be fragile in certain circumstances and unfragile in other circumstances just because we've emphasized our training in one sector. We should be trained in all sectors and therefore not be fragile. So what I see, regardless of the system, and I think that the system has created a result that we can plainly see. So it is the manifestation of the system at this point that needs to be replaced. So what I'm saying is that the system is a failure. The government is a failure. The stewards who manifested the government to play a certain, to have a certain end result, I'm saying that this end result is a failure in a basic duty of ecosystem care. And with the ecosystem under the system of care that it is under now, what we're ending up with is we're ending up with not an increase in the number of experiences that are available, but we're actually ending up increase in the number of experiences that are available. Whereas what I was saying is, okay, if you have an allowance for pollution of a very small amount, but you still have the ability to have, I don't know, 50,000, 100,000 people living in a sector that has that experience, you still have that experience. It's a small number of people, but it's a maintained experience. You can manifest there and have that experience in that sector, but the overall system supports having that continued diversity. Whereas if there is no longer diversity where that small sector is supported by the whole, when that small sector actually dominates and is the whole, it's not supported. And it's also not part of a diverse system. It's part of a stagnated, single, decreasingly diverse, lesser experience, lesser in a portfolio package that is offering less to attract more interesting teachers to it. It's putting out a single saying, "Hi, we're this is the strip mall and the city polluted ecosystem. Do you want to come here?" And maybe there are others that are more attractive, but I don't think there are many. I mean, somebody looks at that and says, "Well, I can't really get anything out of that that experience portfolio. I don't think I'll check in." But those are the people that I want to meet. Those are the people that I want to see, because they're the ones that have even more interesting experiences to share. So it does wind up being simple in what I'm about to say, but what I'm about to say is simple at the same time, but is also complicated. Building wealth is soil-based. Soil-based means, at first glance, that soil fertility-based wealth is local. But soil fertility breathes in air from the rest of the ecosystem. So, in effect, there is no local soil fertility, and the entire ecosystem must be considered when you're talking about what the package is that you're bringing. What is the package of experience that you're bringing to your ecosystem? So, in essence, soil fertility is ecosystem, quote-unquote, pollution management, is wealth building, is quality of life. So the soil, the condition of the soil, speaks directly to quality of life. In essence, wealth, soil fertility, quality of life are different words for exactly the same thing. And that sort of ends the first part of what I wanted to talk about. And I'd like to take a little break here before I start the next thing that I want to talk about. And at this point, what I'd like to say is, as always, with what I'm talking about in fertility, you are the agent of fertility in your life. And you can look at a circumstance in your life or a way in your life and finally discern, after a short or long study of that circumstance, that while that circumstance might have served you and you might have been comfortable within it before, it's no longer bringing you the quality of life that it once did, or you recognize that you've outgrown the quality of life that circumstance brought to you. And I'm speaking from, you know, recent realization within the last week that certain entertainment offerings that I've been using and quite frequently are no longer something that I want to use as frequently in my life. I'm specifically speaking about the things that I find on YouTube in general. So if something like if you're interested in doing something like that, I'm always interested in supporting something like that. I'm always interested in supporting your own personal realizations of how to conduct things. And if you don't really want to talk about it, just don't talk about it. Just make a small change in your life. Make a large change in your life. But follow your internal guides and okay with what you need to do in your life. So the second topic that I'd like to talk about is along those lines, along the lines of everyone's uniqueness. And we're always looking for self-help. We're always looking for a fix for what quote-unquote ails us. And I'd like to talk about that for a few minutes. So it's interesting that one another and have this concept that we're all the same. And society does a very interesting thing. And it says we're all people. We have two legs, two arms. We have a head. We have eyes and a nose. And it puts us in schools and says, you're all people, and you might be called citizens of this country or citizens of that country, and you're all given activities and interests within a certain envelope, but they're pretty much the same. You go to school and you're taught writing and arithmetic and geography and the history of wherever you are. And it's all pretty much the same, that the scope of it isn't incredibly diverse. It isn't, so-and-so has an internal need to do this, and they're, you know, an entire, you know, army lines up to help them do that. So in an earlier program, I talked about how old I think we are. And I'd like to talk about that again for a moment. So if we can for a moment talk about a blank soul, soul that is completely new, it has no experience at all, nothing, and it comes into the human experience, it's going to have to experience many, many lifetimes in order to build even the most rudimentary capability to function. It's going to have to start out and be having a very simple life. And it's going to start out in a very simple circumstance. And you could say that it's going to be barely functional, and it's going to be doing simple things and building a small capability. And I would say maybe there are examples of that going on right now where there are very young in the human experience souls and they're having very early experiences. And we shouldn't look at those people and say, oh, this person is, you know, obviously not got all their cards. They don't have all their cards because they haven't acquired them yet, not because they lost them or they got missed. From that foundational setting of the stage, what I like to look at is I like to say, so if you're able to do many, many things just naturally and you have, quote unquote, natural talent, that natural talent didn't just spring out of nowhere. It sprung from somewhere. And what I'm saying is it sprung from a long, long time doing an activity, a long, long time, and many, many lifetimes of building small experiences, taking small steps forward. So when you look at someone and you just, oh, they're just so naturally gifted at something, came from an incredible amount of hard work. So I look at that, and I look at each of us, and I say, we each have an unfathomable backstory, a backstory that is so monumental, so awe-inspiring. Each one of our souls is a storehouse of such massive proportions. I think it is right to say that each one of our souls is a god that we serve or that serves itself by using the forward manifestations of ourselves, our actual us, that, you know, the us that's listening to this program or that's actually speaking this program. That us is the puppet that's getting the experience it needs for the souls, for building the soul. So it's pretty funny that a society would come along and attempt to net us in the same net and say, hello, Andrew, and hello, Bob. You're each the same, and you should compare yourself to each other on these standard exams. And that's utter arrogance. It's completely ludicrous that such a concept would even be proposed, unless there was a de-emphasis of the uniqueness and what your path really is. And so what I'm getting at, and why I talk about following your path and getting in touch with your path and being ready to be awed by yourself, is because this society doesn't make room for true diversity. It makes room for its goals, which we're not going to get into tonight, but it makes room for itself and what it wants to do, and not for our uniqueness. So at this point, I'd like to take a formal break in the program and play my favorite song, Dog the Bard, Green and Gray. See you after the break.
and black cane walking into a wooden glade. Following the sounds of pipes on this beautiful spring day. High from the music that they made. But what beheld him within that place? A look of recognition fell across his face. Oh Lucifer, oh Lucifer, why do you appear to me? For I am a man of God, a priest. I'm no devil, I'm father to man. I have been here since the earth began. Neither black nor white, priest, hear what I say.
I'm green and gray. tune in to International Pagan Radio, you can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
Welcome back to An Emerging Forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. And now, back to Alan.
Well, welcome back. As always, guests can call in at 646-564-9714. That's 646-564-9714, as this is a live broadcast program. And getting back to what falls out of this discussion of uniqueness, what falls out of this discussion of unfathomable backstory is that we each are the servant of an unfathomable soul, and that unfathomable soul has unfathomable wants. Sometimes they're pretty funny what the soul wants next, but we are all the forward servant of that soul. So it's, you could look at it and say, someone could say to you, oh, God is on my side. And I would say back to them, your God, your soul, is on your side, manifesting for you, reaching out for what's going to get next. And I have the same thing on my side, or the same thing that I work for or serve. And what we're getting at with this discussion of uniqueness is that they are massively different, can be massively different, and have the possibility of such incredible diversity. And where we get the strength is in respecting, if possible, the manifestation of the dreams of each one of those diverse, quote-unquote, gods. Because if we have the fertility base to allow the portfolio of all of those dreams to be manifest at the same time that we give out to the quote-unquote unmanifest souls saying, well, isn't this an interesting place to come visit? At the same time, just think of all of the experiences that you could have there. I mean, that's the reason to come. It's basically an information exchange through experience zone or set of zones. The other thing that I'd like to talk about is, if you are so unique, you are, and I hope I've made the case that for why you are, it is not possible, and this is good and quote-unquote bad, but not too bad, it's not possible for you to go and find advice externally to yourself. Just say, oh, scratch your chin, I've got an issue, I'll just go to the local therapist and ask them for advice, because they certainly, they're giving stock advice from some book learning and maybe some internal learning, but they're certainly not walking around serving your God. So how can they have advice that's for you? Now, sometimes they do give advice and it's it works. That's okay. Doesn't work, or when it doesn't move you, or moreover, maybe because of, you know, this discussion, you can say, oh, I get it. My path is inside me. I'm a unique being, therefore asking other unique beings who aren't my same uniqueness isn't forward-looking. And I would say that's exactly what I'm talking about. And in addition to this, that same uniqueness always also leads to this point. If you're a unique being, really in your best interest to follow someone else. You might want to learn their skill, but is it, so many folks like to put labels on themselves and say, I'm a so-and-so, I'm a Christian, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Pentecostal, or I'm a citizen of this country, or I have such and such a degree. That's a grouping into the, there might be only a few of those around, but that's a general grouping, even if there's 100, because there's only one unique you, and that uniqueness isn't even described by your name. That uniqueness may not ever come out because of the way this society doesn't dig into who are you, to value who are you. So the diversity that I want to explore, that's the diversity that I see fertility springing from. And that's something that is missed by this society. And this society is doing what it wants to do. This society is going full force ahead, manifesting what it wants to manifest. And it's manifesting the question. I mean, it seems to be manifesting a termination of experience, but it's also asking every person every day, do you want this termination of experience to happen? And my program name, An Emerging Forest, is basically saying what my stance is. My stance is building diversity and thinking about building diversity, but not only thinking about building diversity, but actually in my daily life, my small company, the Produce Club, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, helps people to access organic foods in order to manifest better minds. And that's what I'm able to do at this point. So that's the end of the second topic that I wanted to talk about tonight. The solution to finding advice for a unique being, which is yourself, is the same advice that I've talked about during the end of programs in the past. And this isn't the end of this program, but the solution is, what is your passion? What is the thing that you want to do but don't have the guts to do it? And where do you want to go? Where do you want to be? and what's holding you back. And ours, you can say, oh, I have this physical problem. But that physical problem might be manifest because you're stuck. And we have to look at the power and say, oh, I have the following disease. Well, you have the following configuration of your soul, which is saying you'll have that disease until you work out of it. You'll have that issue until something is over, some circumstance configuration in your game is over, and then the body gets completely replaced every 14 months unless you have a toxic overload, but you can excrete that. So the manifestation of the body having a particular condition is extremely temporary. It's not permanent. So if your soul switches and the genetic manifestation of yourself switches as a result of your soul switching, your personal manifested body condition is going to change. So there certainly is the, oh, I'll change my diet, or, oh, here's a surgical procedure. But the other possibly more powerful solution I'd like to just hint at is move on, get past it. I mean, go beyond. Do the thing that you need to do and be yourself. Be your unique self. Serve your unique God. This planet, with a planet that I wish to manifest, is a very, very place, a very weird place, and a place where at least some people, and those people are the people who are guiding what's going on, they understand that the offering is stronger because of all the various offerings. Oh, some people might not like that offering over there, but each person, as they grow and understands and respects all of the other offerings, because by our coexistence, we are a diverse offering. Whereas if there's only one offering, Boredom City, no one's going to want to come here. And plus, you're showing that your ecosystem doesn't support a diversity. You're showing that there's no rainbow here, that you're just monochrome, that you're not building to the next stage, that you're devolving, that you have less and less leaves on your tree, less and less types of fruit in your store. So to end this story for this week, we all say we want diversity, and we all say we want bounty and wealth, but our actions in accepting rules speaks that in reality, we don't want fertility. We want to die, and we want to die forever. That's what our actions say. This is the reality that species death, soil fertility death, and the death of our imaginations presents to us in the mirror. And we should take a hard look at what we're accepting. And don't see it. We don't see that staring back at the mirror if our eyes are closed. And hopefully, maybe one person's eyes are being opened by listening to this program. customs and laws of a society wishing for forever death matter? You could look on them kindly and say, oh, that was an exploration of a psyche that time and time again found itself proving its own terminal mathematics, and we're just here for a little vignette. Or you can know that we've been here before, and we're here because this type of society has its attractions. It is a path of learning. It is a way of life that should be limited to a small percentage of society and no more. It should be a part of a larger portfolio. I think it can be. Even as an exploration of psyche, even as a building of a soul, it fails, as it is an ever-reducing area of the overall psyche. A mathematics, it gets smaller and smaller until it blinks out. You could say that it's a victim of a vampire, caught in that embrace. But there are no bounds, there are no bonds except those created by myself, on myself. It is, I guess, exciting to skate near the edge of not being forever. I'm certainly here playing in the same sandbox. So even though it is not socially acceptable, I will state that this society is in worship of suffering, hate, pain, dominance, theft, rape, sin, privilege, disease, cruelty, exclusion, and in the end of all this divide and conquer, a slow slipping away and an ebb to death. Of course it's a test. Of course it's a temptation. We're forever being tested. Boring things that I've been talking about, like faith and basic mathematics of universal love. It's a test of universal love. It's a test of when do you recognize that it's untenable. And you can see that it's not, something's not right with it, right when you see a way of life that treats its manifesting body as not being a part of itself, sin or taboo, right when you see a way of life that excludes parts of its psyche and makes up concepts like taboo and evil and sin for parts of itself that are parts of itself. Right then, without going further into the distractions of its literature or its spiritual practices or its sciences or any of its intellectual outcomes, you know that its ground floor is set in duality. You know its ground floors are set in exclusion of itself. And by definition, exclusions of your own self is psychopathology. It's not whole. It's fragile. It can be ruled. This isn't an emotional foundation. This is a mathematical foundation. So, of course, I didn't proceed this way to see the end proof at the start. I've only seen this end proof when it's time to let more things go in my life and when it was time to see this. I started out seeing small edges of anomalies. And I mean, that's more about my path. And that's more about where I came from, how I got to this point where I have faith in what I think. So what I think is, I believe strongly in increasing fertility in whatever way I can. And I'm doing that through talking about fertility and thinking about ways to make soil more fertile and make other people's minds more fertile all the time. So the other way that I encourage everyone to be more fertile is to bring your inner self to a higher priority in your life and make your inner quest something that you actually start doing. And regardless of what society thinks about it, don't talk about it. Don't ask permission. Bring your wealth of backstory out for all to see, because we certainly do want to see it. As always, my name is Alan Ritter. I'm the host of An Emerging Forest. My email address is ritter.alan88@gmail.com. I have a small produce company in southeastern Pennsylvania and southern New Jersey called The Produce Club. It can be found at produceclub.us. I hope to see you here next week. Have a great week. And do what you need to do. Be yourself. Recognize how unique you are and how much value there is in that uniqueness. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
For listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.